Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. We just want to shout this out right at the beginning that if you like the show, please go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show and give us a rating or give us a comment or a review. It sounds silly because everyone says this, but it really does help people find us. And even just talking about it word of mouth. If you are an artsy fartsy immigrant or you know someone who is, feel free to also hit us up on Instagram at artsy fartsy immigrants or send us an email at
podcast@m945.de.
We just wanted to go ahead and get that right out at the beginning of the show because it really means a lot to us that the listeners who listen are listening, and we just want more listeners to listen. Yeah, man, this is, so right now we are in, so Mo has completely, redecorated and, you know, revolutionized his apartment. And right now I have to admit, I'm in like the coziest, version of your apartment that I think I've ever seen.
I think for the moment it is the coziest version it could, have turned into. So, for all our listeners who might not know how this room looks, or maybe you've seen some parts of it on our Instagram.
Maybe.
But it's the same room we've always recorded when we've been at my place.
Yeah.
But it's not a kind of student's dorm anymore in a shared flat.
Yeah.
It is a living room now.
We're actually going to take a little photo of us here. I don't know if we can... Let's see if we can...
Okay, if we can...
let me do it from like further away here. We have to lean in.
This is great for our podcast listeners just listening to us taking a selfie. Dang.
You guys are going to see this. It's a funny picture because it's just the wall.
We can also
really,
add pictures within the podcast. So that's what we're going to do here.
Are you cool showing like this part of your room here? Then I'll take a photo of that too and we can see. You guys can see the new digs here. It's so nice. There we go. Yeah, that's super cozy. Yeah, and we've been separated for 2 weeks. It's nice to actually see you face to face.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Man, yeah, this has been a really full week. I think what I really needed this week was like a little bit of good news. You know, I felt like so much in September, you know, like the last maybe two episodes ago or something. Yeah, it was the last episode, the longest Monday. I just ranted and moaned and complained because the things I was going through and the problems that I was facing that just felt super overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And everything just felt like it was sitting on top. And I just thought like, man, Germany is too much for me sometimes. And I know that I can't go home. I can't run away from all this stuff. And I just felt very overloaded. But I have to say, I'm very thankful that this week actually brought a lot of really good news. Some good news in our personal life that I can tell you about later. And then also just some good news in general with music and stuff like, you know, finally this week, or maybe just the tail end of last week, the Breaking Even show came out. And I'm really proud of that, man.
I did not see
it. You don't have to watch it like immediately or something. Yeah. But if you guys, if you want to see the show, I think all six episodes are already, you can already watch them on ZDF.com. I think it's it's the Mediatek.
Yeah.
ZDF Neo. Their Mediatek.
It's got to be something like ZDF.de/Mediatek ME, like media plus THE.
Maybe I can put that link.
But I'm not sure if there's also a geo blocking on it.
That's a good point. Yeah, for the Americans,
but
I'm not sure.
All you Americans who own a decent VPN.
Right. Yeah. If you have, oh man, I would love if we got sponsored by like Ghost VPN or the VPN that every podcast
is. I told you about
Express VPN. I think they're always talking about that
okay,
one.
Okay. I told you about the one I use.
Uh huh.
CyberGhost.
CyberGhost, right. My my hypothetical torrent browser always promotes CyberGhost.
Yeah. It's amazing, but in general, because we do not want to advertise certain VPN providers here. But what I find super funny is that VPNs seem to be a thing for a wider audience now.
Yeah.
Because I watched like linear TV again for a few nights, like
turning on normal TV.
Normal TV.
Yeah. I haven't like, seen that since I've been to America in forever.
And crazy. just a few shows, and obviously I still do when I watch sports.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of VPN commercials on, like, hey, have your
that's crazy.
Have your internet security. Do not leave too many
don't leave so much open space for them to come steal your data.
And that's something that is true and something people should care about, their web security.
Yeah.
But something I didn't realize, because I use a VPN since, I don't know, 2 years now.
Yeah.
Also one I pay for. On the one hand for researchers,
mm-hmm.
my job, because it can be great. And on the other hand, it's also great for watching sports, especially US sports.
Yeah.
And US Netflix, etc. That's the other perks of it.
It's great, man. Especially like if your VPN isn't if it's not recognized as a proxy for Netflix and you can get through. Oh man, American Netflix is the best.
You really think so? Because
I think it's pretty great. That's something I'm biased.
I want to have a conversation about with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing I really watched and still watch from time to time on American Netflix
mm-hmm.
is The Office, American The Office.
Sure.
Which is one of the greatest shows of all time. For me, the greatest sitcom of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I still see clips of it. Like, people still post so many clips of this show. And memes, like on Instagram, and TikTok is huge with The Office references. And it's wild to me. And I still see them after what, 10 years of the show being off the air? And it's still funny. It's still really good.
Yeah, I got to admit, I started it. I've seen it for the first time, the first season, like last year.
For the first time ever?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've seen a few episodes of the...
The British one?
Original Ricky Gervais British Office, mm-hmm. but not the American. And I still love it. I still have not seen anything... But it's like the first six seasons I've watched now. But what I wanted to talk about, because for watching The Office, it's great because you would not find it on any streaming platform in Germany. You would have to buy it digitally or...
Right. Yeah, physically. For some reason, it's very hard to get.
But besides that, mm-hmm. last time I checked, and it's been like in May or something. It wasn't still April or something, like more lockdown-y times. Where I was sitting at home, and you kind of feel you've watched through
everything.
German Netflix and German Amazon Prime and seen the stuff you want to see on Disney Plus, watched like the Star Wars saga for the fifth time or whatever this year.
Yeah.
And then I checked the American Netflix besides The Office.
Right. And you were disappointed. And
I was really disappointed because I imagined to find more amazing stuff. But for me, it felt like I cannot make a point here by having everything listed down the head at that point.
Right.
But my impression was all of the great stuff that they have on European Netflix is not there. Some of the great stuff, which are American Netflix productions, are obviously there.
Right.
But the part in Europe that is filled with great European stuff or... could also be American productions that are on European Netflix.
Right.
It's just more filled that space with blockbusters.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
cheap action movies, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I haven't seen American Netflix in a while. I think the last time I really checked it out was the last time that I stayed for like a decent amount of time in America. I think it was more than a year ago. I was staying at my friend Bruno's house, and I remember that on the American Netflix, they had two shows that I always want to see, but I just never have access to. And that's Parks and Recreation, which I think is still on American Netflix. That is like one of my all-time favorite shows. It's from the creators of The Office. It's the same like kind of fake documentary style, but great, great, great characters. Super, super funny. The first maybe two episodes are a little bit rusty, and mm-hmm. then you just get so into it. And then the other show that I really, really love is a show created from like Seth Meyers, Fred Armisen, and Bill Hader. It's called Documentary Now. And they reenact and sort of mock famous documentaries from the past like 60, 70 years.
Okay.
Like these big, like for example, there's this huge documentary from Errol Morris called, I think it's The Thin Red Line, not The Thin Blue Line, but I could have that reversed. I think it's The Thin Red Line. And it's a famous documentary where he very candidly interviewed these two guys who were in prison. Mm-hmm. And they had a very separate story about like an event that happened on a particular night. And it was so engrossing that it actually ended up getting one of them out of prison. So it was a huge documentary. And so they take movies like this or like The Jinx or something.
Yeah.
And they will play the roles of the people and like kind of kind of change the story to like sillier, funnier things. It's all really dry humor. But I think you have a point there about that when you like you get bored and burned out pretty quickly on German Netflix. Like, you know, there's sometimes some new things here and there, but I think the fact that there's so many different streaming platforms competing against each other right now, like, you know, you have YouTube Originals, you have HBO, you have Disney.
Apple Originals are the new shit.
Apple Originals are great.
I was told.
Yeah, they are great. I've seen The Morning Show is like an amazing, amazing show.
I've heard about that. And there must be one show about life in Iran that I don't know the name.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I was told this is it's an amazing show. I don't know the name.
Yes, I saw two episodes of this. It's
about a Mossad agent in Iran or something.
Oh,
like
then
that.
Maybe I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. We can
Look that up.
I can look that up. But yeah, Apple, but
I think
YouTube.
So many things are just taken. Yeah. You know, the licensing is being fought for and purchased over and over. Like the same thing with the MCU being dragged over to Disney and stuff. I think Netflix in America probably has like a lot, maybe more competition with what they're allowed to license than perhaps German Netflix, which, you know, it's a country that has its own, you know, productions and it has its own, you know, has its own things to fill those gaps. But I
the
am
show
always,
is called Tehran.
What's it called?
Tehran.
Tehran?
Like the capital of Iran.
Ah, okay, okay. Oh, Tehran. Yeah.
And it is about a female Israeli agent that is sent to there and...
Can I see it? Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen anything about that.
It's an Israeli show. Apple TV original.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Apple TV also has some really cool things, but I think that's something, I don't know that, you know, I saw this issue about Netflix that I completely agreed with, which there was an article that came out. I don't know if it was with like Vulture magazine or Rolling Stone or something, but they said like the biggest issue with Netflix right now is that they are canceling series too early. They're canceling series after like one season. And not giving them a chance for people to like get involved in it and get it and absorbed into it. For example, I just found out, and maybe we can double check this, that the show Glow, GLOW, was canceled on Netflix. And if that's true, then I'm really, really upset by that because that show, I was really into it, big fan, and the show, the story wasn't finished. Is that, do you see it there? Is it?
Except there's an article from... this month.
Mm-hmm. I think they were like in...
Glow, Netflix female wrestling dramedy will not be returning to the ring for a fourth and final season. The streamer has reversed its renewal decision made more than a year ago in August 2019. The series starring Alison Brie, Betty Gilpin and Mark Maron has become the latest casualty of the coronavirus-related production shutdown.
Wait, so they're just not releasing one now because of corona or they're just not doing it? Because that would really, I mean, just then do it another year or something if you can. But the show was great. The show was so good. Have you seen it at all?
No.
Dude, it's a great show. It's well written. It's well acted. It's unique.
But here it says, COVID has killed actual humans. It's a national tragedy. That's something very American to say. It's a national tragedy and should be...
Right, not a global tragedy, but a national tragedy. That's true.
And should be our focus. COVID also apparently took down our show. Series creator Liz Flohive, Flehiv.
I'm not sure.
And Carly Mensch said in a statement to Deadline, Netflix has decided to not finish filming the final season of Glow, blah, blah, blah.
Because of Corona, because of the risks. Corona.
So it could be that they might return in another year.
Maybe. But that's also an interesting argument for it. I mean, I know that a lot of productions were halted or completely put to an end because of Corona. But it's interesting to me that also, I mean, at least in Germany, it seems like a lot of productions are picking up again. And I think next year is going to be an overhaul of things like people, like productions, I think. Like next year is going to be a lot of delayed filming, a lot of weird over budget time structures, a lot of weird releases coming out there, like half-assed.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot for like editors and like music supervisors. And hopefully for someone like me, it's a lot more jobs, but I think next year is going to explode.
You've worked on something new today for Join.
That's right, my friend.
That's what your Instagram story told me.
Yeah, that was part of that, like that good news week I'm talking about. Like, you know, Breaking Even came out, and you know, these four songs, I'm really happy with them, and you know, that's all done. And then my good friend Giovanni, he's another composer, and he's doing the music for this new Join show called Stichtag. I don't know if you heard anything about it. I think it drops November 12th on Join.
Was there... there is something...
Like the young people of Munich.
Okay, no. Yeah. Because there has been this one, not really sequel, but kind of sequel movie. No, it's not a sequel, but it's kind of the same plot. From Hangover, which was called Stichtag in Germany.
Oh, it was? Okay. Right. It was like the scary movie, mock movies, but it was done about the Hangover and Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
It was like the Mocking Games or the Hunger Bird or something like that. That looks so bad. The trailer looked so bad for that.
Original title, Due Date, from 2010.
Due Date. Oh, with Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah.
Oh, that was, dude, I thought you were talking about... There's an actual new movie out that makes fun of The Hangover.
No. No, it's just because of kind of the plot and Adam Galifianakis, etc.
Right, with Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
I remember seeing that movie.
And Jamie Foxx.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, that one was called Stichtag in Germany. That's why I was confused. Funny.
How would you translate that? Something Day.
Now, Stichtag means like due date.
It means due date.
Like, yeah.
Like a deadline. Like
something like a deadline, yeah.
All right. That does make sense because I know the story and I know what happens. So that does make sense. But it's like these 16-minute episodes, and it's going to be one of the first series or original series that Join produces, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it drops November 12th.
They've sent us down some documentaries so far.
Yeah. I haven't investigated.
Some reality TV.
Yeah. I haven't investigated too much about what they do, because for me it's
but yeah, that's another streaming platform. Hard.
It's another streaming platform, and it's German based.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's going to be only it's from ProSieben. Oh, okay, I didn't know that. But yeah, Giovanni, my friend, is the composer for that show, and it's a very cool soundtrack. It's very like modern hip hop. It's very like street trip, like kind of trip hop. I don't know, like imagine... Because the thing is, the whole thing follows like 17-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about like what are like lower income, you know, street smart teenagers listening to today. It's going to be like SoundCloud rap. Munich. Yeah, like the outskirts, like in the more... Like, I don't know if it's... I don't know from north, south, east, west, which most outskirt is more poor and maybe or more dangerous.
If you could say so at
if
all.
If you could say so.
Because Munich... Compared to Hamburg, Berlin, Frankfurt, etc., right.
It's definitely
super rich and super clean because of the way it's Bavaria has rained. But it could be north, west, or the very east.
Okay, so I mean, I'm not totally sure of which direction, but anyway,
a few kilometers away from here.
It could be. Yeah. So it's like some outskirts suburban location with some teenagers. And you know, the cool thing is about the cast, they're all, most of them are like actual struggling teens who in like Jungenhaus, like youth houses and stuff. And then a couple of them, like one of them is an influencer, and one of them is like a really, really, really great actress, I think. But they're all perfect for what they do. They all fit really well, and I've seen a few episodes of it, and I really like it. And so anyway, Giovanni's doing the music for it, and he brought me in today to do... I think I will have done like 4 songs with him for this, the same way about Breaking Even, where he's like the lead guy. I think maybe with Giovanni, I have a bit more of an influence. Like I can change more things. Like I have more freedom to do more than like just the text. As opposed with David, he definitely has more of like a control. He has a real final say. But it's cool with Giovanni too, because we can play a lot more. Like, hey, how about we take this out or change this or whatever. And yeah, basically, actually, this leads me to what I wrote down here. What I wanted to really mention was that. So what I'm really trying to get into a lot more these days, besides like musical supervision and of course performing music, like singing and writing, singing and playing guitar, is text writing. And actually, Giovanni was very supportive and helpful with that idea. He told me I should look into maybe getting gigs as like a text writer for jingles or ads or other artists. Like I've done lyrics for a few bands, I've done lyrics for these TV shows and a few movies and stuff, and I love doing it, and it's easy for me. I really enjoy that work. It's quick, it's good money. And so that's a job I've been trying to push more, actually. And slightly connected to that is I've just recently set up a Patreon account.
Yeah, I've seen that, and that I think this might be a good opportunity to explain what Patreon actually is, because I am someone who has heard of it and has only to do with it in terms of I know some people like streamers, musicians, etc. Who do this, but I've never actually been on Patreon myself, or have donated something or received something or whatever.
Yeah,
so maybe that's a good point to kind of explain that.
So basically, Patreon is a very simple platform where people provide different levels of services that people can pay directly for. So imagine you have, let's see. Imagine, for example, if someone is a couch maker, they make sofas, and on Patreon, you could have them, you could pay for services to one, like maybe they show you their techniques that they don't share to the major, like to YouTube or something, or they show you behind the scenes in their studio, or they make specific things for you. And Patreon allows people to pay like very small or very large, depending on what you want to do, monthly payments that are automatic as a supporter and a subscriber to that craft. Like there's some people who make art and they say, hey, if you want to buy my painting, go to my Patreon, you do a one-time payment and you get their painting with the signature and stuff. So it's basically just like, it's a market. It's a market where you're providing a service and people who love what you do can pay for that service. And so what I have, I think 3 or 4 tiers of payment, and basically each one offers more and more stuff. And, you know, what I tried to consider was, you know, maybe there's some people who really like specifically my music, like Jordan Prince music. So I could send them, you know, demos like from phone recordings, drafts, early sketches, first collaborations, things that people never hear. Like, you know, I always just show the final product, but maybe like showing, you know, band rehearsals before a big tour run, or sharing like video sessions behind the scenes, doing personal shout outs, writing songs for people's occasions, doing specific cover songs for people. And then the VIP access, early access to tickets, things like that. And it gets more and more and more. And I do have a patron from Patreon. I want to do a shout out to Mason Joyner, an American friend that I went to university with. And he signed up immediately. He signed up for the first tier. He's paying like $7 a month. And
that's super sweet.
It's super sweet and it's really supportive. And I also wanted to mention that this is something that if people who really love this podcast can also use this Patreon to support the show. And basically I would make that like arrangement with you, you know, but let's say that people want, let's say that they know that we don't have a sponsor for the show, right? They know that we don't have like an ad or something right now, but they want to support the show. They love it. They want to see us maybe grow into having like a video podcast that we do weekly on YouTube, or they want to help, they want to see us like be able to make more of a living from this or gain something from it. And they could go to Patreon and maybe we set up like a tier that's, you know, $5 a month, even less, maybe just like $1 or $2 a month. And, you know, just like just general supporting of the show. And, you know, we can offer personalized things back to them. Like, I'm trying to think of what we could specifically do to offer back to people who support the show. We would make a list of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, Mo and I doing a specific section about a topic that they want, or doing like a video thing for them, or however more specific, and actually we need better ideas than that, but basically I
but
think
it's something we could think of, but what I really want to, because I really like this idea, and I can imagine, but what have you experienced, and I think you have watched other Patreon, I would call it accounts, et cetera, before you started this, et cetera.
Yeah.
And does this really work? So have you seen other artists, maybe even quotation marks, bigger artists do this? And have you seen a market for those things?
Yeah. I mean,
like for cell phone recordings of demos, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I can actually look right now what I have offered, because it's easier than to just to guess what I have on there, you know, here it is. Yeah. I have my,
shame you don't know.
I don't have it. Well, I mean, there's four different things. Let me see what I have here. Let me see my tier. It's called tiers, like TIERS. See my page here. But yeah, basically, there's a lot of people who can make a decent living from this.
Okay.
You know, you have to have my bet. Ah, here we go. Show more tiers. You know, you have people who, let's say, for example, we have like a gamer who is really great at Fortnite and they live stream Twitch.
Yeah.
Then they can offer you, you know, like private streaming, you know, tips on something. Like I can also offer, you know, one-on-one guitar lessons, customized songs, like anything to do as a musician.
If you think about doing this, I think Jordan can definitely give you good guitar lessons, but you gotta leave out songs that contain the A major chord.
Why? Because my fingers look so weird on it?
Because you play it in such a weird way, and I think everyone else would break their fingers if they tried to do this.
Probably.
Okay, but now I get it. Because at first, because you mentioned Twitch, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. At first I thought that's just like, because on Twitch you have this function where people who watch your stream can support you indirectly, PayPal money or whatever.
Yeah, you can do things for them.
And that has worked really, really good for gamers, etc.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, at the beginning, I thought Patreon is just an alternative or the new big thing in this kind of topic. But
right.
You see, as far as I got it now, you as an artist, craftsman, gamer, whatever.
Anything.
You just create another USP that you could sell to people besides your regular catalog.
Exactly. Like, just to finish the Twitch thing, like people will use Twitch as a way to market what they do, and then people can pay them for what they do via Patreon. So that would be like, hey, I'm on Twitch tomorrow, I'm doing blah blah blah.
Yeah.
If you want to see the show, donate whatever to my Patreon. You know, and then like, or if they want to have this every month, they want to have more stuff. Like basically, so I'll show you. My first tier is $3 a month. Mm-hmm. And again, we can use something like this for the show, people who want to support the podcast. But my first tier is $3 a month. I might even end up making it $1 a month just for easier. Well, you know, because I'm starting at the beginning. But it's behind the scenes content. So, you know, showing you know, making videos of my private rehearsals when I'm trying ideas out, like more
in the bathroom.
In the bathroom, exactly when the best ideas come, you know. Exclusive
JP's singing under the shower.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just behind the scenes, like showing you my process, like maybe showing like early lyric sketches before anything's finished. Exclusive content, so like things only for you, like recordings only for that person, or requests or things like that. Live streams, giving them access to, let's say I have a live stream concert and I want people to pay to watch it, they would already have access to that stream.
Okay.
And then there's like personalized thank yous. I would write like a nice email or a letter to that person. And it goes up from there. The next one is like $7 a month. Again, I'm thinking of lowering all these. So Mason paid for this one. He gets early access to any update or ticket or release. So he's going to get early access to the new album. He's going to get early access to the next single for next month. He'll get a private link to the video. He can see it first. That all comes with that. He gets work in progress updates. So the other day I finished writing a new verse on a song that I have very little structure for, but I recorded it on my phone and just sent it to him. And I said, hey man, this is a new idea. It's a little rough, but I hope you like it. And he feels really connected. We talk about it. He's always really happy to get it. And then, of course, the other four things from the first tier are also included.
Yeah.
And then again, it goes up again. There's like specific requests, lessons, digital downloads of anything. Like, let's say they're paying 10 a month. Then they're like, hey, you know, I can only find this song on your Bandcamp, or I can only find this song on this live show thing. Do you have a version of it somewhere? It's not on your Spotify. Then I could send them the song like, here, you just have it. Because they're already paying for everything. And then the last one is just basically everything I've listed plus like five more things, like, you know, personalized concerts. Exactly. Like whatever they would want privately from me that I can offer. And then I think I'm going to start adding things like if you're working on a musical project and you want, like, for example, I told you that my friend Sandra called me earlier today. She needed help. She's a beginner musician. She had some sketches of songs. She had like the structure down roughly, and she had played them on a guitar, and it was like kind of a loose thing of like, I want to start making songs. Mm-hmm. Can you listen to them and give me your feedback? I think I'm going to start including that in there. Like if you're a musician and you want me to analyze or look at your lyrics, to analyze and listen to your songs, like deeply listen to them and give like honest feedback about structure or arrangement or melody or harmony. Like I'm more than happy to do that and to just contribute that back to the musical effort of the world, you know? And then we can also add things in like for the show, if you want to support the podcast and make things more personalized. And I think Patreon could end up being something that helps me make more money during Corona while there's no concerts. And then imagine next year when we go on tour, you know, we can hopefully. Yeah. Then we can say, yeah, exactly. Then we could even say, you know, if you want, like if people really get into the new album, maybe there's more followers by that time, then I can say, okay, if you want like, you know, these very exclusive things, like if you really want to see the tour, then, you know, follow, you know, pay us on Patreon. You get the next releases on early. You get to see everything backstage. You get to see us rehearsing the songs on the stage, like just everything that people don't really ever get to see unless they're really consistently following stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a process, you know. Right now it's kind of rough. I want to build more on it, but I think it could be something.
But that's an interesting topic because that leads me to other thoughts. Like, would you also offer stuff like writing songs for people?
Yeah.
Because that's something I thought about regarding the amazing story Kobe Grant told us on this podcast about her song Winter Bear. Mm-hmm. You can find it on the Kobe Grant show we had and also on our little vacay special this summer.
Right.
Where we had this featured one more time. Where she wrote this song about this lovely family in the Netherlands who lost their child and called it Winter Bear. And it's super deep and it's it really gives you chills. It's a great song and it's been a huge success because it's been so personal, etc.
Yeah.
So is that also something you could think about offering through this platform?
I think on the third tier, it's already listed, like personalized, like song wishes. You know, like if you say, "Oh, my daughter's gonna have a birthday, and I want can you do a special birthday song for her? Here's her name. Here's where she lives. You know, she really loves ponies, and she loves the color pink." Then that I would do that. Hey, you're paying me for Patreon. Of course, I'll do that. And then I write, you know, then I write the song and I record it personally. Can even give like a private message and then send it off.
If you think about a podcast, you could also book us for your kids' birthdays and we'll show up and record an episode there.
Just keep it down. We're recording over here.
Imagine like the classic scene. You would imagine a crowd of kids sitting in a garden
waiting for
a clown to come on this little stage they improvised. In their garden, and then there's us two guys bringing three bottles of wine, setting up the microphones.
Oh my god, I can totally picture that.
And it's German kids, so they don't even understand a single word.
No, they're just sitting there eating like a pretzel with a little party hat on. Like, I don't understand. How was this fun, Mom?
I thought you would like it, sweetie. I thought podcasts are a thing for you young people.
Yeah, it's like, I thought kids love podcasts. I'm four. The best you can do is TikTok, okay? That's the best I'll take. I'm not going to take podcasts yet. These guys don't even have a sponsor. Oh, man. But yeah, I think Patreon could, I think it could end up being something. I just have to craft the perfect tiers and offer like the most reasonable prices as a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, doing these writing songs for people, adding the feedback, adding the guitar lessons and stuff, like anything that I can do to offer to add to that, then I can even add text writing. I should just add that. I can write lyrics for people. Text writing, poetry writing, personalized speeches, anything, you know? Like, I just think that might help people like me make, or shows like us even, make a little bit of money. And it's not going to be that much money, but a little bit to help roll in the back pocket during Corona or even after if we...
No.
Because I think a lot of people were making a lot of money on Patreon even before Corona. People who offer a certain thing, they make it really special, they make it personalized. And I think if you have a genuine, you know, collection of people who follow that, they're going to pay for it. I mean, if I can get a few more people just like Mason to be a patron to what I can do or what we can do, then that would be, you know, a few extra groceries every month, or it would be like a little bit more, I mean, just to be honest, it's a few more pizzas and a few more beers for me. And I enjoy that. And it helps me feel, you know, like I earned it, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a great idea. And I'm just a little critical about things like that.
Yeah, I mean, throw
because
it at me.
Because not about the things you offer, etc. I think from the point where you are, there are even more options for the future that could be great and that might also sell.
Right.
It's just like, I'm a little bit frustrated about those things because and that's maybe why I also didn't feel like I should check about those new forms it's also marketing and selling your
brand, your work, or your work.
Yeah. Because I'm a little bit frustrated because I see since like 2 years that this Twitch thing where people also can...
It's huge.
And people make a lot of money about it.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
And so many people pay for it.
Yeah.
And then we had those streams we talked about with Herba this summer.
Right.
And there were like, I don't want to make this about me, but there were like 15 to 20 people who really gave their everything to it, plus the artists and sports guys, etc. We had for interviews, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole crew who created an actual TV show, stations would pay thousands, tens of thousands of euros for it. And we even had to invest 15,000 euros per show.
Wow.
And we had a money pool for it, for people to
donate.
To donate.
Yeah.
because we were like, hey, you cannot enjoy this club. So we, as the club, in quotations,
we marks, bring you the club.
We bring you the club to your home. And we really have ideas. And here's, we have great artists here. We have great comedians like Maxi Schaffroth was on it.
Right.
Great bands, great DJs, great great videos, interviews.
Just good entertainment, yeah.
Exactly. And people were not really donating. Like, there was a small circle, yeah, just like you mentioned, your friend from back home. There was a small circle from friends of the...
Of the artist?
Of the owner.
Oh, okay.
Who donated, and biggest props to you guys, because it's kind of worked out because of sponsors and because those people donated more money. Like, mm-hmm, those people would donate like $50 or yeah, $70 if they were a group of, I don't know how many people, up to $200 if they were like 10 people sitting together in one garden and watching the show.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out like we expected it to do, like having, because there were many people watching.
Yeah.
And we would have measured that, like, okay, there are 5,000 people watching it, or it's 5,000 devices, and we knew in front of each device
is at least one person.
Is at least one person in the most occasions, because that's the setup we gave to people. It's at least 3 to 5 people.
They put it on their TVs and they have the family.
Exactly. Right. And they would meet and have their barbecue, because it's her barbecue. That was the, for the, yeah, summer. That was the kind right, of branding.
Right.
So we knew it was okay.
Barbecue.
There was a factor.
That's actually pretty good.
For the first show, it was a factor of like 3. So each device is 3 people.
Wait, say the sentence slower. What was it?
The first show, when we get the statistics, there was a factor like
a factor
3 okay, point something. So each device is 3 point something people.
Okay.
So yeah, you could say there was like 10,000 people watching or whatever.
Okay.
And we imagined like, okay, if 10,000 people watch and each one donates like €1 at least,
right,
we have most of our investments done. Back,
yeah.
At the end of the day,
yeah, those were in the minus.
There were like 50 people donating more money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe that's the kind of situation. I think with donations, I feel like it's sometimes the same kind of cursed situation that people have when there's a reason to call the police, but everyone thinks that someone else is going to call the police. You know, you need someone to kind of make the choice for them and be like, you call the police now, you know, and then someone will be like, okay, I will call the police. But I think with donations, everyone always assumes when they're watching something that's for free and by donation that there's going to be enough people donating. I don't need to do it. Or they don't think about it because, hey, the video's here, especially for entertainment. Like, that's different from like charitable good causes. I think there's a big difference. Like, of course, people are going to donate to good causes. That's more important. But when it's like for entertainment, I think when it's free and by donation, it's much harder to get people to get them encouraged to donate. And maybe Patreon and Twitch is kind of a good combination for something like this that you're thinking of doing, because, or that you're trying to do already, because, you know, you could set up the platform. Well, the thing with Twitch is hard because older people are watching the Hubba thing and they're not going to get Twitch. So maybe you have like a very easy link, a stream link, like maybe owning a domain and like hosting it on that.
We had a QR code within the show and a little link.
There you go.
With the digital money pool.
Right.
We had that.
So maybe you have to actually get them to pay a ticket to do it. Because if like 10,000 people are watching or 5,000 people are watching and they really want to do it, then they can afford the €1 to €5 that you're probably going to charge to watch it.
Yeah, but that's what we also, after the first show and we realized, okay, this didn't work out, mm-hmm, that's what we branded it like.
Oh, like, this was only the first show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Not the other shows, it also did not work out like we expected.
Okay.
Far not. But we branded it more like, okay, guys, because we had no real possibility and we did not want it to put it behind a paywall because it was so new.
Yeah, the first one you always tested.
Yeah, also the second one, we thought we couldn't afford that to do.
Okay.
Because then we would have lost more people. Okay. And we still thought, okay, if there's like 20% who don't pay anything,
mm-hmm,
we'd still be fine if we get the rest. And we branded like, okay, there's not a donation. Yes, it is about this club, being able to survive after Corona or during Corona.
Yeah.
And let's see it more like an entrance fee. Like a normal evening, if you go into that, that club, you pay right. like $5 for entrance. If there's right. a DJ, $8. If there's a band, $10.
Right. Yeah.
So you could think, okay, it should not be kind of that big of a deal for the same kind of entertainment. Obviously, you don't get the people.
Yeah.
And the alcohol. Yeah. But that's also something you pay for extra.
That's
but
true.
The same you kind just of get it at entertainment, home. You could still pay €2 to €3 for that.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that's something that just came to my mind. Maybe the internet is a factor. Because with donations, what I thought about, with my bands, what we realized at some point, mm-hmm. for some smaller concerts with new projects that people didn't really know, we did not sell tickets. So it was for free.
Yeah.
But we collected the kind of donations, and it worked out pretty well because, that's or cool. even for people who are busking,
yeah,
this still works pretty well because I think because of this nonverbal connection and maybe you as the musician or the artist or something that provides some form of art or entertainment to someone else,
right,
can look them in the eyes
and be like, hey. Please.
Exactly.
Come on.
You don't have to be that offensive, but it's still another social thing.
Yeah.
To stand if you see someone busking, mm-hmm. it's always awkward if you stay there for like or stand there for like a song or two,
and you don't pay,
and then walk away without paying anything.
Yeah, it's cold. It's really
and I
cold.
Think that the internet makes that easier.
Internet makes that extremely easy.
And
yeah.
I think that also has then you have to regard the kind of group you're trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitch works so well because those are Gen Z, they are used to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Gamers, this is their own kind of community. Yeah. I don't know
what that's the rules, new wave.
What yeah. rules work there because I really am not part of this. I have such a bad knowledge about gaming.
I just set up a Twitch account.
And
we
it's,
can talk
and
about
it's,
that.
Right? Oh, and its culture, etc. But I think for everyone else who isn't already used to that kind of, who isn't either part of that mm-hmm. culture where it's normal to do that and to right. donate money or to pay an entrance for online entertainment,
right.
or is not that deeply committed, that they say like, okay, those are friends of mine, or I really see what works goes in there because they can relate because they own a club themselves or whatever.
Right.
Or they're just really good people.
Yeah.
All of the other people fall out. And I think that's what happened to us.
Yeah.
And to get back to your Patreon, I think this is a great idea, but I think that is something if you think about it earlier. Okay, how can I reach those people I might not get or lose or whatever?
Right.
Because of that barrier, to get those people to commit to my art, to my projects.
Exactly. And I wonder if that is affected by the intense personalization that Patreon offers. Like, let's say if I have 4 people by next month who sign up for it, then those 4 people, you know, they will feel like a genuine, almost like a friendship with me because I'll be writing them often. They're getting like very personal things from me. I'm using their name. You know, it's not just like a crowd in the distance, but more of like, hey, Mo, thank you so much for this. You know, here's this thing that you asked for. And here's a little something extra just as a thank you, because this means a lot to me. And It's very one-on-one and very personal. And actually, something that you said about the anonymity of the internet making like a lack of donations so easy,
yeah,
reminded me of I played a donation-based concert at Hurba before Corona once.
And how did it work?
Well, the reason that I think it worked out great was because of this, because they solved this problem that you're talking about. So they had these acoustic concerts, and I got booked to go from Munich down to Oberstdorf and and play a show there one evening. And when I arrived, Mario, the owner, told me, okay, we're going to have this bucket for donations. You just play an hour and a half or something. And, you know, you can get food and drinks and stuff. And I said, okay, great. And I knew that, you know, in that region, there's more money. And sometimes when you're, you know, in my case, playing as an American in those Allgäu towns like Kempten or Zontofen or whatever, or Oberstdorf.
It's some form of exotic thing.
Yeah. And even if they don't love what you
label American does something with
exactly.
It sounds silly, but it is a thing.
It does help. It is a novelty. And I knew that when I went there, even if it wasn't like amazing money, that I would make some money and that was going to be okay. So the reason why it ended up being a great show was when I finished, what they would probably have done in a normal bar, or what they probably would have done often case in America, or most places I've played based on donation, is that they would leave the bucket by the stage.
Yeah.
And whenever,
or the entrance or something.
Right. Just leaving it there on a table. And whenever people are going outside to smoke or coming back into the bar, they just pass by it and they see a few bucks in and they think maybe at the end I'll put a dollar, or it's just very easy for them to ignore it. And the reason that the donations work so well at this concert was because the big bouncer, the dude with that huge beard at the front door, he, when the show was over, I gave like an acknowledgement to Mario. I said like, thank you so much. This was great. I hope you enjoyed it. Blah, blah, blah. And the guy went over, took the bucket off the table, walked over to the front door and didn't let people, like they had to walk basically through him.
Yeah.
And he was like, here's donations for the band, and like stared everyone in the eyes. And I just watched him do it as I packed up, and every single person, maybe just a handful of people didn't do it, but they stood there looking, he's super tall. They were like looking at his chest.
He can look intimidating.
Yeah, super. And they looked at him and they were like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the music was okay. You know, and they put like a euro in, or some people, of course, put like five or more.
Yeah.
And by the end, I mean, it was already like over 300 euros for an acoustic show, which is really, really fair, I think. And I'll just finish this and then we can take the little break. Or should we take the break now?
Yeah, you finish this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just open the door.
Okay, okay.
For all our listeners, hello, hello, you're on the show. Yes.
Mo is just going to let Tony inside the door and then we'll just take a small break, but you won't notice that. Basically, like he held the can at the door and met eyes with every single person. And then they felt that pressure to donate. And, you know, the money came out great at the end. And of course, additionally, Mario took money, a certain percentage from the bar, and added it to that on top. So in the end, it was like over 500, which is more than fair for a short acoustic concert. And that really made all the difference. And I think that's the problem that he's talking about with this anonymity in the internet. It's too easy to not do it. Okay, so do we have to take that break now or?
No, we can.
It's all good? Okay.
Keep going. I just had to let my girlfriend in, but she told me she's going out anyway.
Hi, Tony.
To a friend of hers. So.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that's all good.
We can keep rolling if you want to. I would just
get some more
fill
water.
Up some water.
Let's actually take the break anyway so I can pee really quick.
Okay.
All right, see you guys in a second.
So here we go again. Rolling again.
All right, we're back.
And I don't know how you finish this Herba story.
Yeah,
but yeah. No matter what, I want to give a big shout out to Mario, the owner.
Yes.
Because what I realized through these streams we did is that he's an amazing club owner in terms of how he cares about his guests, obviously, otherwise it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But especially for artists, for small artists, mm-hmm. and for people who work with him and for him.
Yeah.
And it's been so great to see what effort he puts in, what great ideas he has.
Yeah.
Even if it's Big Rona and you happen to find yourself in Oberstdorf, he also runs a super nice tiny cafe called Bohne and Clyde.
Right. I haven't been there yet.
Do you get the joke? Bohne and Clyde?
No. I mean, I know Bonnie and Clyde,
but
I don't know.
But Bohne in terms of Kaffee Bohne.
Ah, Bohnen. Ah, okay. I thought it was like Bona or something.
No.
At first I thought you said
Boner.
At first I thought you said Boner and Clyde.
Boner and Clyde.
Like, great. What a fun joke, Mario.
What a great title for this episode. I don't know.
Boner and Clyde? Of course I'm going to do that.
By the way, I don't know how I couldn't see this, but I really liked, I like how you kind of, did you mean to name two episodes, I guess, in a row, kind of Snoop Dogg related?
Snoop Dogg related?
Like sipping on gin and juice.
Oh, that was Eileen's episode.
And Lordy Doddy, Look Who's 40.
I mean, Lordy, Lordy, Look Who's 40 is just this like...
Lordy, Lordy, we don't hurt nobody.
Oh, I didn't even get that. We just like to party. No, no, no. Lordy, Lordy, Look Who's 40 is just
because I listened through Doggy Style today again, because it's just a great great hip-hop album.
Oh, yeah.
Finest G-Funk from Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
And then I realized... Okay,
well, there was one I did from Nelly. Me and the rest of my heathens.
Damn!
That's from Nelly, yeah. That was on purpose. And then Go Back to School, Charlie Brown, of course. I don't know why I decided to name...
Sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back. With my mind on my money.
And my money on my mind.
I don't know why I named Guy's episode A Heavy Yet Delicious Stew. I think because it was a very loaded episode.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Perry Farrell, of course. And then, yeah, Lordy, Lordy. That's just something I think my mom would say that.
Lordy, Lordy.
Like I think she'll, like, when, in 10 years or something, she'll text me and be like, Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40. You know? And I don't know why it just felt right to do that. But yeah, you're right. For Eileen's episode, it was sipping on gin and juice, which is funny because I wasn't at all. Or no, we were that evening. That was the
we were
that was
sipping the gin episode. On gin, yeah, but...
That makes sense, yeah. That was the nice gin episode. I do have some cool guests I've been writing. I don't know if I mentioned about that on the last episode, but...
No.
But actually, I'm going to try and get the lovely Violeta Del Rio's
Del Castillo.
Cousin. Del Castillo. Violeta Del Rio Del Castillo. I'm going to try and get her cousin, Patricia Moscardo, because she... Patsy. She's a fantastic... photographer and graphic designer and illustrator, and she's actually working for the same record label that VV founded,
and Bubble Bath Records.
And right now, Pat's is back in Spain, so she'd be on our time
to get back to Snoop Dogg. I put bubbles in the bath to do a bubble bath.
Did he say that?
Yeah,
I heard a story today that he invited this comedian Bert Kreischer over to his house, and they played basketball. And that they lowered the goal down to 9 feet. I think regulation's 11.
No.
They lowered it down 2 feet, and that Snoop was just dunking left and right. Dude, apparently he's got good skills.
And you always hear the story about he's having an IQ of 147.
I don't know, man.
And so he's hyper intelligent. But I have heard the story today because
he's a good businessman.
I checked some of his social media feeds after I listened to this album again randomly. And I've seen a little interview snippet of, we'll get back to Patsy in a second, but a funny story, because I once told you about this stoner movie, Mac and Devin Go to High School with Wiz Khalifa.
Right.
And
you mentioned
Snoop
that,
Dogg.
Yeah.
And where this hit Young, Wild and Free with Bruno Mars, was part of the soundtrack from, and why this became such a huge success.
Oh,
this
okay.
This was the title track of this movie.
Okay.
And there's a little interview snippet of Wiz Khalifa saying it's about different rappers from different generations and their relation to Snoop Dogg. Because
ooh, that's cool.
He's someone who's been there from, I don't know, from N.W.A. to A$AP Rocky.
Yeah.
He's
seen them career, all, man.
And there's many rappers, and then there's a Wiz Khalifa, and he said, like, yeah, he's got this call from Snoop Dogg, who told him, yeah, man, my son is such a big fan of your music. You got to move to Hollywood, and then we'll shoot a movie.
Okay.
That's how they started shooting that movie, Mac and Devin Go to High School, basically.
Oh, that's so cool, man. Imagine getting a phone call from, like, an icon as recognizable.
Of your craft.
Yeah, like, yeah, especially of your craft or whatever. And imagine, like, this extremely recognizable icon. You know, it'd be like if you're an actor and you get a call from Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You know, musician.
Or if Jordan Prince would get a call from Paul Simon.
Dude. Oh, oh man. I got so... yeah, I'll finish the Patsy thing. And then
that
just reminded me about this musician I want to talk about. But yeah, Pats is a very talented girl. And I'm talking to her right now about what might be the right date. And I really want to, she's just settling in. She's got some things she's got to finish up in home, and then maybe we can get her overnight.
Where does she live?
She lives in Malaga. That's okay. Where her and Vivi are from, near Madrid. And then also there's the American guitar player that we've worked with a lot, Luke. Luke is also interested in being on the show. And I have not ever considered
the most German-American guitar player you could imagine.
Yeah, it's funny to me that he's like American, because whenever I first met him, I thought he had a German accent, and he in his behavior and stuff is pretty German. Now, he grew up here, you know, but it's funny, like his passport's blue and everything. He's all red-blooded. But he's a great guitar player, and it could also be cool to hear his story.
For everyone who likes good guitar sounds, go follow his Instagram. It's yes. Pure eargasms.
Yeah.
Each time he posts something.
If you're into, yeah, if you are in any way, like slightly into good guitar playing, like kind of into, you know, guitar YouTubes and stuff, Luke has a really successful guitar YouTube channel, and his Instagram is also really great. And he's
played. Luke Cyrus.
Yeah, Luke Cyrus, C-Y-R-U-S. He's played with some huge artists, and he's actually also on the 12 Songs for 12 Friends record. He got some great lap steel solos on there. I just thought about, you mentioned if Paul Simon were to call me, and I just thought the other day, like, man.
What would you do if Paul Simon called you?
I guess it would, I mean, first off, just, I think at first I wouldn't believe him. I think someone that big would probably have communications through like several middlemen, like several agents or something. It'd probably be like his person's person is told to get in touch with me somehow. But if he actually called for any reason, first, it would be a good 10-minute period of who is this? Is this a good prank? You know, who is this? And then I think I would probably just do whatever he asked. if someone that big, if he were just to call to be complimentary, I think that would be the kind of motivation that could keep anyone going, you know? Like if maybe I was, because often, you know, artists question what they do.
Yeah.
If it's worth it, if anyone's caring, blah, blah, blah. It happens all the time. And I think if you were to get an inspiration from someone like that, that would be just that fuel that keeps you going. Like there's so many stories of comedians who met, you know, I don't know, Richard Pryor or Jerry Seinfeld or, you know, George Carlin, and they get like a little note of inspiration, of like positivity, and they're like, okay, well, I was living in my car and I wasn't making any money, but once he told me that my set was good, man, I just knew like I have to keep trying. I think that sort of thing would be so motivational. But recently I've been super obsessed with this great, also very old musician who just died this year from complications with COVID, but John Prine. Are you into John Prine?
I would not say I'm into him,
mm-hmm. but I know him.
Yeah. Yeah, I know of him and of his music, but I would not say I'm too deeply into him.
I feel like he was someone who, I mean, he had a very like illustrious and successful career, but he was also someone that kind of just stayed under that like icon level.
No,
you know, he's not in like the Neil Young, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan world. But he's in that, like, that just under it sort of thing, you know, like, maybe.
Kind of Jerry Garcia world?
Maybe. He has his own huge, his own humongous weird world.
And he has a really weird hype about him.
Yeah, he's an interesting myth behind this guy. But I think, you know, for example, like, a lot of people would know the band.
Yeah.
But not everyone would know Levon Helm as, like, an artist, his own records and stuff. So I think John Prine was like right in there where it was like obviously successful and like known around the world, but not quite like icon famous. And John Prine is someone that I've just been getting so obsessed with. And I think, I mean, his songs are usually pretty simple. It's kind of like from a country background and stuff. It's very beautifully played, but it's the stories he's telling, man. It's the lyrics are so amazing. There's one song he has called Sam Stone about a guy. It's a
pretty famous one, isn't it?
Sam Stone, I guess, is one of his hits. His big one is Angel from Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's like his Freebird.
Which I remember is because I saw a video. I don't know if it's an official music video, but someone made a really great kind of stop motion hand drawn video with impressions of him. I think it's called When I Get to Heaven.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't know which one you get to.
I'm not sure. Someone gets to heaven.
Man, he has just...
I hope he got to heaven.
I hope so, too. Man, he's just got countless, like, amazing records. And he's got this way of describing things. Like, he talks about this soldier that came home from serving overseas.
In Sam Stone.
And there's one thing about... He has shrapnel in his knee. And he says, the morphine eased the pain and the grass grew around his brain. And I love that because, you know, this like classic American picture is, you know, like a lower income home, all the grass in the yard is really tall and you have some car that has missing tires and the engine hood is up and the grass has grown around it because they've never fixed the car. They don't get around to like their house care. And you imagine someone who's just like numbed out on these opioids because they thought that would help them ease this pain from the war.
And it also kind of might describe this feeling.
Yeah.
The actual drug does to your brain.
Yeah. It's just plus, beautiful, man.
Yeah.
So many ways to picture like, and he just goes on and on. There's I think it's sad songs don't last long on broke. No, love songs don't last long on broken radios. It's just genius, dude. It's just so nice. But he has a million songs like that are just like so captivating how he describes things. And I've just been obsessed. Like last night, we played a few rounds of Scrabble and we just put John Prine on. And every once in a while we'd stop and like laugh because he said something so like, that's a funny way to think about it. You know? Just very cool songwriting. Very obsessed with that guy. I was trying to think if there's any like new artists I don't think this year I've really been discovering new artists.
This year?
Yeah. I don't really feel like I've been, like last, okay, for example, every single year on Spotify, I make a playlist of that year. Songs I like that I hear and I collect them. And this year I have literally, I have like a third, like a fraction of the songs that I had from last year's collection. I think last year I had like easily over 100 songs I really liked. And then this year, I just have like 50 something, or maybe it's like half, but it's so little. And it's usually artists that I've known for a long time, like John Prine. And I maybe hear a song from his I hadn't heard before. And then I save it in the playlist or like Anderson .Paak has a couple of new songs, but it's just, I feel like I haven't really discovered new artists this year. It's so, so different from like, I'm so used to that. That was like my thing. Like for me, you know, like I'm always hunting for new music or, I don't know if I started feeling after a while that new things started to sound the same, if I was just bummed out by new things, but I just couldn't find it. Like, do you feel that you're really like discovering a lot of new artists all the time right now?
Yeah, somehow I think not that many like I had in other years, but I gotta admit I don't know, some kind of guy who has, in terms of genres, I have kind of phases. Mm-hmm. That might also return. Like last year, I discovered a lot of indie bands I love.
Yeah.
And my artist of the year was one we met at Brighton, Ruby Fields. I fell so deeply in love with her album and the piece.
Yeah.
And especially her song Dinosaurs.
Yeah, you love that one.
I love that one. And recently she has put up a live EP from a pretty huge festival in Australia. I don't know the name of, but it's hosted by Triple J, the famous radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like crazy. There's also, you can also find a video, this song Dinosaurs, which is super emotional and also great songwriting.
Yeah.
And there's like 20,000 people singing it. And it's a song that's
so cool.
That is kind of, it is kind of a song you could play, but she doesn't play it with an acoustic guitar. She plays it with a medium, crunchy electric guitar.
Yeah.
Easy strumming. And then for the very last 30 seconds, the bands come in and create this huge breakthrough.
Yeah.
And so that was my thing last year and many other great bands. And this year, I don't know how it came, but... from the beginning of this year, I started to look for, and I cannot explain why, again, more for hip-hop stuff. That's also why I frequently listen again through old classic likes Snoop Dogg, etc., or right. Nas, or Souls of Mischief, etc., 90s stuff. And I discovered some great German hip-hop artists, especially young black German rappers, which I find super cool because there is something, I feel like something is growing there. Which I think
the
hip hop
scene is definitely growing in Germany.
Yeah, and especially you get to see it's something special in Germany that you have black rappers in German language.
Yeah. You don't see that
there,
so often.
There used to be one pioneer, Sammy Deluxe, who's an amazing artist who also has an amazing podcast right now. For our German listeners, it's called Hochkultur.
Ah, cool.
And he has great guests on it. And yeah, but that's the thing I found. And in terms of other music, there's one band I don't know how I discovered them, but they have their first EP out now. And they're called Common Saints. And the EP is called Idle Eyes EP. Common Saints.
Oh, that's cool. What's the EP called again?
Idle Eyes.
Idle Eyes. That's cool.
And they're also there, and they released the. I found that when they only it's kind of an, yeah, kind of more an R&B soul sound, but pretty wavy guitars, and they released a single, Idle Eyes, first, and I really loved that, and the EP is cool, but still it seems like I have a big thing for. Two or three artists I discover, but I do not have that range like I have in other years. Mm-hmm. Plus, I don't feel that much pleasure in going through newer stuff from people I already know. Like, you sent me this playlist of yours.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, okay, there's many cool things in there. And there's also a lot of things of artists I know and I love stuff from.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like with many artists and shame on me, one of them is Tame Impala.
Right.
To this day, I did not really enjoy their newest album. I don't know why.
Me either. There's only one song that I got into from the new album and I played it to the point where I don't really like it anymore.
Okay, because for me, it's like, I didn't even get to that point. I listened through the whole album like two times.
Yeah.
And then it...
It just fell away.
Fell off, yeah.
Yeah. But it must have been so hard to follow up Currents. Yeah. It's a perfect album.
And I experienced it a lot within the past 2 years. I also had that with the Arctic Monkeys album that came out 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had this great video shot in Munich. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
With the famous orange tunnel of the U-Bahn station Marienplatz. Ah. It's in there.
Oh, that's cool.
I felt that at first, but Arctic Monkeys, their newer albums, I always had that like, okay, I need like 5 to 6 times listening through this to like it and to appreciate what they did there.
Yeah.
But
they definitely changed their sound a lot.
Yeah, but with many artists I heard bringing out new stuff this year and last year.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel it. I don't know.
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel Tame Impala. And I mean, there's a new artist, a relatively newish artist. I think he has 3 records now. Andy Schauf. I mean, I'm a humongous
fan.
Which
single did we talk about?
From the new record.
Yes. Because there's one I also really like.
Is it Try Again? Try Again or Fire Truck?
It was.
Was it this one?
Yeah,
that one. Try Again.
Yeah,
that's a great track, and I played
I really
it to
like
death.
It.
And,
yeah,
and Fire Truck is also beautiful, but the rest of the album I just didn't click for me. And Tame Impala, this was the only one that I really really liked. Is It True? I played it to death, and the rest of the record just.
One thing I really like,
doesn't work.
I gotta admit that one album I really liked coming out earlier this year was the Tom Misch and Yusuf Days album.
Oh yeah, well Tom Misch has been getting more
what kind of music?
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing album.
That's true.
But in general, and yeah, on this playlist you showed me there was also their single Night Rider with mm-hmm. Freddie Gibbs. Which is a super weird...
Dude, Freddie Gibbs, yeah.
It sounds super weird first time, but it's a super smooth sound.
Yeah, that's true.
And
there's that new Stephen Malkmus single, Julie Fucking It.
Yes. You showed me that
that's a great
and I
song.
Really loved it.
I have to say, that's a very cool song.
Dope Lemon is also something I kind of enjoyed. But
right.
In general...
I just haven't really dove into
that's a thing because I come across a lot of new records and new artists etc.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it's a COVID thing and
I think it's been a 2020 thing as well. Like I don't have the motivation to like search as much as maybe I did last year.
Yeah, plus maybe also thing because I don't know. It could be something with our habits,
right?
Because we don't get around that much. You don't have that many long train or car rides, etc.,
right.
Where you really search for something and concentrate on stuff and listen through. Because when I listened, really try to enjoy music at home, I listened to actual vinyls most of the time.
Yeah,
and I didn't buy that many new ones. So mm-hmm. that's something that because I think I'm still too much into finding new music online, on streaming, and I think that could be something
that contributing to that. You think?
Yeah, for me in any mm-hmm. case, like I think my habits or times that I have where I try to find new music actively and mm-hmm. and listen through it and dive into new worlds.
Yeah,
those. Yeah, those times are kind of lowered, cut away because you don't travel that much, etc. If you travel at all,
right?
And
podcasts have also become more of a thing for me this year.
Yeah,
I'm listening to way more.
Same
podcasts.
For me.
But I think actually for me the main reason why I'm probably not diving as much into new artists as I was last year is because there's no concerts.
Yes.
There are, I think that for me is the main reason.
Yes.
Not only is it like getting a recommendation from a friend and going to see a band and then learning about them that way, but also when I go to a concert in Munich, I usually run into at least 5 musicians that I know. And there's always some conversation about music or about bands, either inside, outside, around. Have you heard? Did you see?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then you learn about some artist, you find them, someone, you see someone, they tell you about a band they love, and then they text you later, like the link, hey, check that out, this is a song I talked about. And I think last year, that was the last chance where I was having shows, going to see people play shows, and then meeting people to be like, for example, I went to this Anderson .Paak concert, and then at that concert, someone was like, oh, you know that guy, BJ, the Chicago kid, he sings on this track? You should check out this other song he does on his personal stuff. And that was for me a huge, like an open door to BJ the Chicago Kid, which is amazing music.
No.
And I just never heard. Or like, you know, I saw some video about some guy and then I heard someone talk about this Tom Misch guy and then it led me into being obsessed. And then like Jacob Collier and then all that stuff comes from Wolfpack. And like,
I don't like Jacob Collier.
I'm impressed with him,
but
I don't listen to his
dickhead
stuff. Yeah, I mean, for sure. I don't listen to him regularly, but like from him led to like another musician I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
And it just, you just that follow that chain. But I think this year,
and especially not only concerts, but especially festivals for me.
Yeah.
Because I know
festivals. You see a bunch of bands you've never heard of.
I've been to Pulse Festival several times last year and always found something there, especially smaller festivals.
Yeah.
And I know regular listeners might get sick of this topic, but our trip to Brighton. It was amazing. There were like 300 artists playing in
at least,
5 days in 100 venues or whatever.
We were either at our apartment playing a gig or watching another band.
Yeah, and so many. I mentioned Ruby Fields. I also really fell in love with the music of Joshua Burnside.
Yeah.
We all three of us really enjoyed with this
Body
band.
Body Type was that band.
Body Type was this amazing girl band also from New Zealand or something.
Yeah.
And so many more. There was this other band who played after us on this first stage we played.
Oh,
who played support for Hozier after that.
Yes. I still follow them. I forgot their name. Oh man.
But they also I'm not sure
it's like I have one word.
In some playlist.
But yeah, them, dude, and then the biggest, I think, biggest artist we got into after that was Joshua Burnside, of course. I mean, that was just amazing.
Louis Capaldi.
Louis Capaldi, yeah. Joy Denalana. But yeah, it was just like doing those things and meeting those people and like, you know, talking to the artists after and stuff. You just get more, into it. I don't know. I think that's been a big dip.
Yeah, but then I got to the point where today where I sat at M94.5 at the station, and I must admit that our own program runs not often enough in my office when I work there, but I should do it more often because I listened to it all day today. And
did you hear anything?
And
you got
there
into?
and now that we're here. Big props to our music department and the guys that grab a new music.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed today's playlist, and I'm talking for like 6 hours I heard of it.
Yeah.
And if you have a possibility to listen to M94.5, if you want to find new music, that is really a thing because the radio is kind of out, but I and it's not only M94.5, also Ego FM does a great job with that.
They do, yeah.
But especially M94.5 because we are... I don't want to say we because I'm not part of the music department, but our music department has the rule that music that comes new into the program has to be something that is out of the top 50 charts, something like that, plus must not be older than 2 weeks.
Right.
And it's mainly indie music, but also independent hip-hop music, soul music, etc. Up to metal anything.
Yeah. It's just a good opportunity for artists to get heard.
And if you are not into easy entertainment but into finding new music, go check out M94.5 the program or the Spotify account because for every month the new music that comes out they create a playlist.
Yeah, which is very cool.
And I found some cool stuff there and I thought okay, maybe that's just something because I focused on some because we talked about this earlier, but I think maybe we just focused on other things because music is, for you and me especially, I think I can say this especially, music is a big part of our everyday life, playing it, hearing it, wherever we go.
Yeah.
And I think both of us kind of took this corona time where we stayed more at home, etc., for focusing on other stuff that we think we don't do or don't enjoy enough in our everyday life.
Right.
For me, it was reading classics again.
Yeah.
Books, movies, TV shows, podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think because you still have to work and you still have a certain amount of time for all those things. I think in my case, music just fell off. Because of all the other things I focused more on because I thought, okay, now I have to focus more on these things now that I have more time at home and...
Yeah, exactly.
For enjoying this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I should have done way more music at that time. It's funny, now I'm doing more collaborations, but during... I mean, I did some collaborations, like this Tom Yanks thing that just came out.
Yeah.
But
I love it, by the way.
I love it too, man. I'm super happy with it. And I hope he gets a lot of streams. He's a good guy. Yeah, you should go to Spotify and listen to Tom Yanks, TomYanks. He's a new artist, and I mentioned him. He just released his first debut album on the same day, last Friday, that Breaking Even soundtrack came out. And he's a good friend of mine. He's got great artists on there, great singers, great rappers, and I had the pleasure of working on 4 songs there. So if you want to hear me do some cool auto-tune singing and some rapping... Go check it out. It's called Bloom the Grinds by Tom Yanks. But yeah, I did some collaborations like that with him. And then, I don't know, then I just felt, I wasn't so creative. I was focused on finishing the new record that hasn't come out yet, but I wasn't writing anything new. And only now am I like collaborating more, making more plans. I wrote a new song or two, and I'm just feeling like, okay, there's like a light at the end of this tunnel. There's a chance that like this creativity and this feeling is coming back. And it, you know, it always comes in these little pockets. And I think,
yeah,
I think maybe right now I'm in a good pocket and I should just try and enjoy it while I can. What, how far are we in this right now?
We are at 1 minute, 24 minutes, 1 hour, 24 minutes and 30 seconds.
1 minute and 24 seconds. I think I may have to wrap it up. Unless anything else is on.
I would have one little topic because you wanted to talk more about movies, but we don't have to do that if you don't have that much time left.
Well, we can cap it off with the movie chat.
Because I got to check first if you've seen this movie, but I got back into, because you kind of motivated me to watch more movies. People around me tell me you should have seen.
Right.
This is one I already have seen when it came out, but I watched it again after a long gap. This weekend, have you seen Whiplash?
Yeah. Whiplash is great. I really like it. But I do understand that there's a lot of drummers who don't like the representation of what makes a good drummer. My friend Nick, who played drums on the 12 Songs record, hates Whiplash because he is a very technically skilled jazz drummer and percussionist. And Whiplash kind of gives the impression that the faster you are, the better drummer you are. And they were focused more on his speed and his soloing skills and less on the technical
skills needed. His kind of swings are super sloppy, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like the movie was just more putting more pressure on that if you're a good soloist and you're very fast, that makes you a good drummer. And I think that was kind of a misinterpretation of that skill. However, I'm only looking at it as someone who enjoys films, and I think the acting is incredible. I think the editing is what makes the whole thing such a really perfect movie. And it's often compared to like a partnered film with Black Swan. Did you see that movie with Natalie Portman?
Yes, that came out
the same year, I think.
Same year, yeah. But I saw it in cinema then, but I have not seen it since then.
I would rewatch it because it's I think it's Darren Aronofsky's movie. But they have
It's about the same kind of drill.
Right. There's actually a couple of YouTube videos about comparing them side by side. But what did you think about it?
I really loved it from the moment on I've seen it the first time, and I kind of could relate to it. And I think this whole idea about the drill, and that's upon where I wanted to talk to you about, because that's something I experienced. I did not experience that drill myself, but I was at a point where I realized if I want to achieve something with more like classical music or jazz music, I would have to endure and would have to go through this kind of drill to get somewhere.
Right.
And had friends getting through it.
Right.
In music and in sports. Mm-hmm. And plus, I think it's great acting. I love J.K. Simmons.
He's like unbelievable,
This role. Did you know that that Whiplash is based on a short film?
Same director, same actor, right? But different boy.
J.K. Simmons also played the drum teacher. The
teacher, yeah. I saw that. It's awesome.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It's won some film festival, so they got the funding to do the feature.
And I still found it super interesting because this big question of this kind of drill and how far will, because which role also I find super interesting, the most interesting role for me, and that's the only thing that I miss a little bit in this movie. I would have liked to see, but from a point of view that I have now, to see more about the reactions of the father of the drummer.
What do you mean?
He says you only see him in a few scenes. He's a super sweet guy. They cook together. They go to the movies.
Yeah, very supportive.
And he's very supportive.
Yeah,
but there's no scene. I would have liked to see a confrontation between the drum teacher, like, what's his role called? Terence Fletcher.
Right.
And the dad.
Oh, okay.
And there's this one scene at the end where you think it could happen, but it doesn't happen.
Like before the final solo, you mean?
Yeah, and more of where his son leaves stage one time and he gets backstage.
Right.
And then he gets back on stage and
right, you, totally, you see him storm totally, in. You're not sure if he's angry or if he's upset for his son or... Right.
Plus, more of his reactions to what the methods of this drum teacher are set up, because that's something I find super interesting, because especially I feel like during the past 10 years where there's more awareness for mental issues, mental illnesses and their causes, and especially with people who do sports on a high level, who play music on a high level, who are dancers, etc.
Right.
Everything where there's such a pressure. Could be like Black Swan, could be ballet.
Right.
I've seen it with people who went to school with me because I've been on this elite winter sports school.
Yeah.
Even if I was not an elite winter sports guy.
Yeah.
Disclaimer. Figure skating on ice. Surreal what these kids, what kind of drills they have to go through, ski jumping, skiing, and so many sports, so many, and also music. If you want to get to a spot in a certain orchestra that brings you somewhere, etc.
Yeah,
same kind of thing like in Whiplash, and that's a big thing. And I still don't get, because as a society in Germany, that's what I can speak for. We are at a point where we speak more open about those kind of issues, but I still would like to hear more from the people who could have created some form of intervention before it must come that far. And in most cases, those are the parents and their role and how much they push their children. Because I've also seen, I've seen in my surrounding cases where also the parents were a big factor of pushing their kids so hard until they break.
Right.
Either physical. I know one guy who had too many bad injuries at the age of 16 and couldn't do his sports anymore, or mentally.
Right.
Just like. Shortly, the moment the protagonist of this movie is.
But do you think that the protagonist in this film suffers from mental illness?
No. I don't think he suffers from mental illness. But I think this movie runs up to this point where he's shortly before a complete breakdown. I mean,
he has a breakdown.
He has a heavy car crash before this concert.
Yeah.
Gets on stage, bloody suit.
Yeah.
Might have serious head injuries,
yeah,
just to fulfill his role and play this drum part,
yeah. And then he does have this breakdown. He quits everything.
Yeah,
it's crazy to see it. Yeah, the movie has so much tension and so much pressure. And you know, as a musician, you feel so bad for him. And
yeah, and that's what makes it so good. Because, or I don't want to label it as good, but.
I mean, the movie
is not
good.
So fixed. Yeah, it is good, but the whole plot,
yeah,
and how it's told, and that's why I think the acting is so good.
Yeah,
it's not so fictional. Those are situations that happen.
That's very every real. Day. That's very real. I mean, maybe like the specifics about, you know, like I said at the beginning, like maybe the little specifics about what they're actually looking for in a drummer like that, are shifted in a certain way to tell the story the way they want.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything around that, the circumstances, the pressure, that's the limited chances, everything, that's all very real. And I think that's what really hits home. And I think that the direction and the storytelling is very good in that movie. Yeah.
And I also wanted to bring up, first of all, because it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Second, because I really... I'm interested in this kind of issue and what we as a society think is okay to do with kids. Plus, I think it could be in another episode, and I think that's a good point to close it.
Yeah, a little cliffhanger. That's good.
Could be a great topic with an artsy-fartsy immigrant we get on here,
yeah,
who might have had to live through these kind of struggles and drills,
yeah,
and did they
work through these pressures at home, no, like via their art, or did they maybe have a pressure to make their art from the, yeah, parents? That's also a good question. Yeah, I'll write that down for the next one. Pressure for
if you are an artsy-fartsy immigrant or no one who might want to talk about this kind of topic, don't hesitate to text us or DM us on Instagram at artsyfartsyimmigrants or send us an email at podcast@m94.5.de. And I gotta say, thanks again, Jordan, for an awesome conversation.
Thanks for having me here in your new studio. I really, really, really like it. It's very cozy.
I really like this, that we have an actual face-to-face situation now, because...
Yeah, I mean, this table is great. The whole setup is so nice, guys.
At my old table, we were sitting around the corner, and it was all like... turning, yeah, around to see each other.
Yeah, this feels way more like legit, and yeah, it's very well decorated, and I'm really happy for you guys. Yeah, guys, like we said at the top of the show, please go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify, wherever you listen to the show, and give us a comment or a review or a rating. You'd be so surprised how this actually works. It does help people find us, or even just share what we do online, or just word of mouth. Just tell your friends about us. Really helps a lot. And again, I'm going to, by the time you hear this, I'll try and have this done where I will have reorganized the tiers on my Patreon. So, you know, if you want to support me as a musician and get something back from me, you'll be able to choose that offer. And I'll try and incorporate, if you want to just support the show, I'll talk to Mo about some things that we can offer back to you as a thank you. You can go to, I think it's just patreon.com/JordanPrince to support the music and also support the podcast. Feel free to write us anytime. And, this was a real pleasure, Mo. Thank you so much, guys.
Have a great week. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.